All right. Hey, guys. I'm so excited to be here with you. Yeah. It is exciting to be here, that we get to be a church. Even though we can't all be together in one room, we get to come and hear the word. We get to worship together. And I'm just really blessed to be up here being able to do this. This is cool. All right. So before we get started, I want to pray. And I want to read a scripture before I pray, and then we're going to jump right into it. Pastor Shayla said this earlier, but if you have youth signed up for youth camp, get them here. It's going to be amazing. We have just so many fun games and just things prepared for them, but the word is going to go forth powerfully. Lives will be changed. Testimony, year after year, there's testimony after testimony about how the word went forth and lives were changed. And that this year is going to be no different. COVID, no COVID. 6 feet distancing, no 6 foot distancing. This year, the word's going to go forth powerfully. God's word is going to go out and accomplish exactly what he set it out to do. Yeah. And so get them here. It's going to be amazing. Amen. All right, so really quick, guys in the back, the media team, they're awesome. And I told Georgie and... excuse me if you're like jumping all over the page. So if there's a delay, it's my fault, not on them, because I threw him a curveball. You know what? Opening day for the Dodgers, I guess. Curveball. All right. So we're going to go right into Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Version just because it really it expands some words and it just gives you a really clear picture of what we should be doing as disciples of God. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. Can you guys say absolute? Absolute. I know y'all are saying at home. Absolute faithfulness. Stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let's run with endurance and active persistence the race that sets before us. We're going to go back on, Mr. Georgie, please. Thank you. All right, so with endurance, say endurance. Endurance. And active persistence. Active persistence. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity. God is amazing. And I love verse 2. We're going to pray right now, but verse 2 says, looking away from all that will distract us. There's an act, there's a part that we play. And we have a big part in it. Father, we thank you for the word that's going to go forth tonight. We thank you that it's you speaking to us. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is true, that you are not a man that you can lie. And we thank you, Lord God, that your word's going to go out and accomplish exactly what you set it out to do. We thank you, Lord God, that we have, just like Ms. Chanel prayed, that we have ears to hear and a heart to receive what you're saying to us. And we thank you, Lord God, for you being a good, good Father. You are amazing. There's no shadow of turning in you, and we just give you all the glory. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, guys. So Sozo Camp is called Endure. And I was telling Pastor Shayla, I think that's a great name for 2020 Youth Camp. Endure. We have need of endurance as a body, as a believer. And in this season, 2020 has been a really interesting year. I enjoy memes. I think they're funny. And so there's a bunch of 2020 memes. And one of them is like, 2020 is like looking both ways before you cross the street and getting hit by an airplane. Or like, hey, 2020, like you're in a car with 2020 and it's like, pull over, I'll walk from here, right? 2020 has been a year of just like, what in the world is happening? And you know what, from the toilet paper epidemic and like, you know what I mean? Like just all the craziness, but really it has been, for some people, it's been a year of heartache, yeah. of sadness, of loss, whether that was financial or whether that was a loved one. It has been a year where endurance is needed. And I just want to say, I don't want to belabor the point like of 2020 being such a weird year. Here's what I want to say. We can spend a lot of time talking about the problem and not a lot of time talking about the solution, who is Jesus. And so I don't want to belabor how weird 2020 has been, but I want to say this. Our God is trustworthy. Our God is faithful. Our God is steadfast. His word does not change. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word ain't passing away. And so no matter what the shaking is happening, you know what? God is not being shaken. 2020 is not a surprise to God, not one bit. He's never been surprised in his whole existence, right? He's never been like, wow, 2020, I should have bought more toilet paper. Like, you know, he's never been surprised. And my point of that is we are partnering with a God, with the only God, who knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. We get to partner with him. And so I just want to sit here and just say, you know what? As disciples of God, as believers, we have need of endurance, persistence, and steadfastness. And you see that really clear this year, but this is not just for this year. This is for next year and for the year after that. And so we're going to jump in, but one of the things that God started to speak to me even before we got into 2020 is this idea of standing firm on what we're believing for, standing firm on promises that God has given us, standing firm on what God has spoken to us regardless of the situations. And I think 2020 has shaken some people where they're like, I don't know if God's going to come through because of this. I don't know. And so I want to just encourage you. God is not a man that he can lie, and he's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And so, you know, there's things that people are believing for, that we're believing for. Some of you guys might be believing for a spouse. Some of you guys might be believing for healing. Some of you guys might be believing for relationships to be restored, maybe parent and child. Some of you guys might be believing for a child to come back to the Lord. Some of you guys might be believing for family members coming to God for the first time, coming into the family of God. You know what? Or some of you guys might be believing for jobs or provision. Here's my point. Like, we're all believing for different things. And there's things that God has spoken specifically to us. He's given us specific dreams. Maybe you guys have prophetic words, right? And obviously, they all have to line up with the word of God, right? Like, let me coach you. You know, right? Prophetic words that don't line up with the word of God are not from God, right? And so if you get a word from God, it's going to line up with his word, right? And all prophecy gives glory back to God. And so I'm not talking about believing like something weird. I'm talking about believing what God has said that lines up with God's word. And I think as a church and as a body, we do a really good job when we start out. Like when we get that prophetic word and we're like pumped, right? Or we hear from God and we get super excited about what God's going to do. Like we get really excited. I think as a church, and not just talking about Hope, but as like a body, as a body of believers, we do a really good job getting excited about stuff, right? And you know, you see this like when you start working out, right? Like you're like, okay, I'm gonna get fit, so I'm gonna go to the store and I'm going to, you know, buy out workout gear, and I'm gonna get my, you know, my pre-workout, and I'm gonna put it in there, I'm gonna drink it, right? Chicken and broccoli, Pastor Joel says, right? It's a regresso soup, that's funny. All right, and so like we get really excited about starting something. We get really excited to get a prophetic word, and it's amazing. And is a prophetic word amazing? Yeah. But what can happen is the excitement, the initial feeling fades, right? The excitement of the initial prophetic word when it doesn't happen in 2 minutes, 2 months, 2 years, 2 decades, we can get discouraged. We can give up And before we give up, we can start to question God's goodness. And so I just want to just say, we have need of endurance. You can say, hold fast. Can you guys say hold fast?
Hold fast.
It's not passive. It is dynamic. We are holding fast to the word of God. We are holding fast to what God has said, because God is going to do exactly that. I told you it's been a process of what God has been saying to me. And God, when God speaks to me, sometimes he speaks to me in stories. He'll give me a story. He'll like put to remembrance something that that I'd read. And I was reading, we used to do this book with the interns, and it was like a lesson, like 15-minute lessons. And one of the stories in there, I don't think we actually ever got to it, but it ministered to me, was of a swimmer, and her name was Florence Chadwick. And you guys have probably never heard of her. She was a swimmer in the 50s, and she was a long-distance swimmer. And in a sport where there was very few women, it wasn't an Olympic sport. And she got famous because she swam the English Channel. She swam from England to France, and then from back from France to England. And that's like over 20 miles, right? Like over 20 miles one way. Right, and she broke like records, and she was like the fastest woman to do it. And she was not just the fastest woman; she was like she held the record for a while. And she's really interesting because she was a California native, and so what she decided to do one day is that she was going to swim from the California coast to Catalina Island. It was not like it wasn't the longest swim she's ever had. It wasn't even the most difficult, but something happened during this swim that I want to look at. So it was a 21-mile swim, right? And this time, when you're swimming from the coast of California to Catalina Island, you're going to deal with some sharks, you're going to deal with jellyfish, you're going to deal with some situations, right? And so she starts out, and she is just going for it, right? 21 miles, we're talking hours upon hours upon hours in the water. She's 15 hours into a swim, 15 hours. And so she starts to get tired, right? After 15 hours, right? After 15 hours, I can't imagine why. After 15 hours of straight swimming, she starts to get tired. She's not out there by herself. She's got support boats. Like, she's got her coach and her mom in one boat and like a rescue boat, and they're following her. Just in case she needs help. And she's out there, and something's different about this swim than any of the other swims. Not the length, but the fact, if you guys have ever gone to Catalina or been off the coast, it's foggy. It is real foggy. So you can't see in front of your face. You can't see what was behind you. You can't see what's next to you. You can't even see the boats that are there with you. And she certainly couldn't see Catalina Island, which was her goal. So she starts looking around. She's tired. She starts getting discouraged. She's like, I'm never going to get there. You know what? This is just too hard. I'm tired. I'm tired of swimming. I'm tired of tithing. I'm tired of serving. I'm tired. And she starts to get discouraged, and she's like, this is never going to happen. There is no end in sight. And what ends up happening is, a little over 15 hours into this swim, she ends up throwing her hand up and calling the support boat and saying, I give up. Pull me out of the water. And when she gets pulled out of the water, she is like, some accounts say she's about a mile from Catalina Island. Some say she's like half a mile from Catalina Island. My point is, she's right there. Yeah. She's right there. And that story is cool enough, except that she said something so profound. She said, if I could have just seen it, I would have made it. If I could have just seen it, I might have made it. And she couldn't see her goal, so she didn't make it. And so I just want to put this out there. Some of us give up, and our breakthrough is right there. Some of us give up when we've been believing for years for a family member to come in to the family of God. We can give up when we don't see it in our timetable, right? And so I just want to present this to you. If tomorrow The person that you've been believing for 10 years coming to the family of God, wasn't all the 10 years worth it? If the financial breakthrough that you've been believing for comes in 2 weeks, wasn't it worth it? So we need to see it, even if we don't see it. We need to hold fast to what God has said, hold fast to the word of God, whether or not we see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's not like saying, oh, you don't recognize difficulties. No, I recognize that my God is bigger than any difficulty, bigger than any need, bigger than anything. I recognize my God as bigger, way bigger than 2020, way bigger than any problem, way bigger than any marriage difficulty. My God is bigger. And so we need to hold fast. We need to endure until we see it. And we need to keep going. And so what are we seeing as disciples of God? We're obviously not seeing Catalina Island. We're seeing God's faithfulness. We're seeing that the same God who came through here and here and here and here is the same God who's coming through here. And he is the same. If he was the same yesterday, the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was faithful here, he's going to be faithful here. And so we need to live a life beyond feelings. You're not going to feel it all the time. You're not going to feel that excitement of that initial prophetic word or that initial, you know what, married couples probably can relate to this. Like, the wedding is amazing. Not every single day after that is going to be amazing. It happens. It's life, right? But you need to live beyond feelings and beyond circumstances. We need to be disciples of God who are disciples of God whether or not we feel like it. Whether you feel like giving. Whether circumstances make you feel all happy and fluffy inside, like, oh, I want to give. We need to be a people that we are steadfast when the world is going crazy. And so Abraham has a promise. We look at Abraham a lot for, like, faith. Like, he's the father of our faith. Abraham is also incredibly patient. Incredibly patient. And so Abraham saw it. What did he see? He trusted God. He saw God's faithfulness. And he's a wonderful example of someone who received a promise and then walked out a process. You guys, we'll get promises from God. We'll get words from God. And then there's a process to obtain it. Always. We're always in a process of waiting for something. Our whole lives, people wait to get married. They wait to own a house. After they get the house, they wait to buy another car. And then they want to have kids. There's always something else that we're waiting for, that we're believing for. And we need to get good at waiting. And we need to get good at enduring. We need to get good at trusting God regardless of what's going on. And so I want to look at the process. Listen, during the process, one of two things will happen. Either we're going to draw closer to God, we're going to dig deeper, and our relationship with God is going to get stronger, or we're going to get discouraged and fall off. There's not this middle ground. We're not in, like, I heard a pastor say this, and we've said this too. We're not in a playground. We're in a battlefield. And we need to recognize that and just really say, okay, God, you are true. God, you're faithful. And I'm going to stand on your word until I see it come to pass. And so in Genesis chapter 12, it's talking about Abram. And this is when God calls Abram away from his family. And it says, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed. This is really where I want to get. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old. All right, so trip out. God is promising a 75-year-old man that he's going to be a nation. Okay, he's older. He's grandpa age. He's 75, right? And you are going to be a nation. He didn't have one kid, but he's going to be a mighty nation. And so I love what Abraham does. Abraham departs. Abraham believes God at 75 years old that he's going to have descendants, not having one descendant. And I want to look, Abraham didn't walk out this process perfectly, right? We know there was an Ishmael, that we some stuff happened, right? And so, but in Romans, it's really interesting. And it's talking about Abraham a little bit later in life. And it says Romans 4, 18 and 19. I don't know if I gave it to you, Georgie. Oh, I did. Oh. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Right? I don't know. God has a sense of humor. I'm thinking the body at 75, it dead. But apparently at 100, it's dead. I don't know. Maybe it's slightly alive, like Princess Bride. Right? And so it's dead. At 100 years old, Abraham had more faith that he was going to be a father than he did at 75. Right? Really? Like, that's 25 years of waiting. 25 years. Not 25 minutes. 25 years from the promise to seeing Isaac. 25 years. At any point, he could have given up. And he would have not had what God had for him. 25 years. And his faith didn't diminish. It got stronger. And so I'm not talking about holding on by a thread, like, oh, if I could just get through. No, I'm talking about standing steadfast. Abraham recognized God's faithfulness. God called him. God protected him the entire way. God gave him a land. Him and Lot had to split up because they were so blessed. God was there every step of the way. He's there every step with us. He's not like, here's a promise, bye. He's with us, helping us walk through this every single step of the way. And in Psalms 27, it says that basically, there we go. I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Can you go back to the first verse? So here's what I want to say. I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. That's some confidence, right? David's being chased, right, throughout the wilderness by Saul, but he's saying, I'm confident that I'm going to see the goodness here. I'm going to see this happen. And so I was talking to God, and I was kind of discouraged, not even kind of, being just transparent. I was discouraged because there's stuff that I've been believing for a long time, some over 10 years. And I was talking to God, and I was that's when God gave me the Florence Chadwick story, reminded me of it. And just this perception, if it's tomorrow, you're going to be so mad you gave up today. Right? Like when you get to heaven and you see how close you were, if you didn't keep believing, you would be so like, it would be like, if I just would have held on. Right? And so I was discouraged and about stuff that I've been standing on and believing God for. And the Holy Spirit told me something that was it was like, wow, that was amazing. And it's because the Holy Spirit's amazing. He's our helper. And he said, you can focus on all the time that has passed that you've been believing for, or you can say, I'm one step closer. I'm one day closer to my promise, to what you said. There's a perception. If you look at, like, if Abraham would have looked at 5 years have passed, I'm older, 10 years have passed, I'm 85, now I'm 90, now I'm 95. At what point, Lord? At what point? And we can get our eyes on how much time has passed. We can also get our eyes on people who are walking in the blessing that we want to be blessed with. whether that's financial and you watch someone get a job, or whether that's, you know, their family got back together, or this child returned. And you can like see that and you can get your eyes on that and start questioning, God, what are you doing? And so here's what I want to say. That perception changes, like, if it's tomorrow, dude, I'm so glad I waited. If it's next week, I'm so glad I waited. If it's 25 years from today, I'm so glad I waited. Why? Because God has the best plans for my life. He knows me the best. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And so don't think about how much time has passed. You're investing in your relationship with God. You know what? And so I want to just really, like, Abraham at 100 had a way better relationship with God than he did at 75. He walked through some stuff with God, and he drew closer. And in this season where things are being shaken, and I just get your eyes off the stuff that's being shaken and get your eyes on the one who's not shaken. Get your eyes on the goodness of God, because he is faithful. He is trustworthy. And if we start looking at all the stuff around us, we can't look at God and look at all the stuff around you. Then you're divided, you're distracted. We have to we set our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. There's a diligence. Georgie, can you go to Hebrews 12 for me? Please. Thank you. And so it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. So Hebrews 12 is right after Hebrews 11, deep, right? Deep, deep. And so it's right after Hebrews 11. Wow, like you're like, I came for the meat today, right? And so, but it's after Hebrews 11 that goes through all these people who endured. All these people called the Hall of Fame of Faith. People who endured to the end, who ran their race. And not only did they run their race, but they finished their race. A lot of people start races. You watch, like, if you've ever seen a marathon, I don't know why anybody wants to run a marathon, but God be with you, right? And so, right, they start, everyone at the starting line, they're like amped. They start running and running and running, and then, like, yeah, and running because it's 26 something miles, right? Anyway, so it's a lot of miles. And so they initially, a bunch of people start out, but not a bunch of people finish, right? People get weary. They pull a hammy. Some people fake the hammy at the start line. just say, I'll be like, my knee, right? And so, but we wouldn't be talking about the people in Hebrews 11 if they hadn't endured. We wouldn't be we wouldn't be looking at their example if they hadn't finished well. And so, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to stay a lot in Hebrews today. But before we jump to Hebrews, we're going to jump over to Proverbs 30, verse 5. And it says, every word of God proves true. He's a shield to all who come to him for protection. But really, like the beginning part, every word of God proves true. So if we see it in his word, it's true. We can stand on it. It will stand the test of time. You're not going to put God to shame. God's word is going to be forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word won't. And so in Hebrews, they're talking a lot about enduring. And really the context is salvation, about us walking that out, about seeing our salvation, being with Jesus forever, about seeing Jesus come back. And it's really interesting in Hebrews 10:23, and this is in the Amplified, it says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Let us seize, like you got to grab it, and then you got to hold on to it. You got to hold on to it. It's dynamic. You don't just believe it one time. It's a daily choice of God, you're true. God, you're true. Your word is true. I'm going to see it. That's what separates the men from the boys, the people who say, you know what, I don't care what's going on. God, you're true.
I'm going to declare what your word says in this situation. Despite what's going on in my marriage, I'm going to declare what your word says over my marriage, over my family, over my situation. That's holding tightly the confession of our hope. And our hope is God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And in Hebrews 10:35, it says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. Patience, like, it's like a four-letter word, but it's not, right? Like, it's one of those words you're like, it's like, wait, right? Patience, endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience, endurance is what you need now, so you'll continue to do God's will. Then you will receive what he has promised. Patient endurance, then you'll receive. Right? There's a walking this out daily of saying, God, I trust you. I trust you with all my heart. I lean not unto my own understanding. I seek your will in everything I do, and you show me what path to take. I commit everything I do to you. I trust you, and you're going to help me. Like, there's this daily of, God, you know best. You know the best timing. You know the best season. You know the best stock to invest in. You know the best. Yeah. And then in Hebrews 6:9, it says, we're going to go jump down to 12. It says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Their faith and endurance. So you inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. Or you can say it like this, faith and endurance. Right? All the people in Hebrews 11 endured some stuff. They walked it out. Some waited years and years to see what God said was going to happen. It happened exactly the way God said it was going to happen. And so I want to just, we're in great company with believers who've gone before us, where situations might not be what we thought. Maybe we're waiting longer than we had hoped, but we're in great company. And in Hebrews 6:13-19, and it's talking about Abraham. It says, when God made the promise to Abraham, he swore an oath by himself, since there was no one greater to whom to swear, saying, I will surely bless you and surely multiply you. So God swore on his own name, right? And having so patiently waited, he realized his promise in the miraculous birth of Isaac as a pledge to what was to come from God. Indeed, men swear by an oath by one greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes, the oath serves as confirmation of what has been said. And it's in the end of the dispute, right? In the same way, God, in his desire to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of his purpose, intervened and guaranteed it with an oath. And it goes on to talk about there's two unchangeable things, right? It's impossible for God to lie. Right? His answers to his promises are yes and amen. And I want to just jump right in here. It says, in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to him for refuge would have a strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. This hope, this confident assurance we have is an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, the most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. Basically, it's another scripture talking about God's promise of salvation, about being with us. And I love the author of Hebrews, how he ties it into an anchor, right? If you anchor a ship, ain't moving, right? The word of God is an anchor to our souls. Emotions change, circumstances change. The word does not change. And we need to be people that are steadfast. We have people looking at us. How are we acting when the job market's like this, when our kids are acting like this? Are we only steadfast when it's easy? Are we only steadfast when things make sense to us? Are we only steadfast when things are going our way or the way that we wanted them to go, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to help God with how he's going to, like, work out a situation. I'll give him some ideas, like, hey, well, it'd be really cool if it worked out like that, you know? Just saying. Hashtag just saying. But I'm like, and sometimes I'll have these expectations on how something's going to work out, and God does it completely different. Like, I didn't even see that option on the table. There's a reason for that. We're not God. Right? And so when we try to play that part in our lives, we get messed up. That's when you get Ishmaels instead of Isaacs, right? And so what I want to say is we have need of endurance. Hebrews 11 would be a really lame chapter if the heroes of faith didn't stand firm in faith, right? If Noah gave up halfway on the ark, right? We wouldn't tell that that would not be a children's ministry story. Be like, Noah and the half-built ark, the animals didn't make it, right? Because the boat sank. Like, we wouldn't tell that story. And we could laugh, but no, like, really, like, we would never tell that story. We would never tell that story of David. If David gave up before he became king, if on one of the things that happened right before David became king, JC and I were talking, is all his men basically, like, turn against him because their camp gets raided. What if he would have given up then? We wouldn't be talking about David and his endurance when David was promised as a young man that one day he'll be king. That wasn't realized till he was, like, 30 years old. That's a process. Right? There was a waiting period where God developed David. David wouldn't have been ready for that back there. Yeah. David was a man after God's own heart, and God continued to develop David through the process. You know what? What if Joseph, while he was in prison, just said, I give up? You know what? Like, really, like, we look at them and we're like, we know how Joseph's story ends. We know how David's story ends. We know that Noah's spending years and years and decades building the ark, that it was successful. But they didn't know that. Yeah. They couldn't see the end. They couldn't see where they were going. But they could, because they saw the faithfulness of God. They said, you know what? If God said it, I'm going to believe it. And Joseph, we know the story of Joseph, his dreams come true, right? Because Joseph faithfully kept obeying God. And so did David. And so did Noah. And they didn't walk everything out perfectly, but there was a heart of, God, you said it, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to walk this out. Whether this happens tomorrow, in 2 weeks, in 2 months, in 2 years, God, if you said it, yeah, I'm going to believe it. Yeah. God, if you said it and you're not a man that you can lie and you only tell the truth, then I'm going to stand on your word and I'm going to patiently endure. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to anchor myself to you regardless of the situation. And we have Hebrews 11. And we're like, whoa, the heroes of faith. And it's amazing. And I think we forget the process. It's, like, all summed up all nice in, like, a couple of verses. Like, there wasn't years that went through, that they walked through. You know what? I'm sure at some point Noah was like, I don't like animals no more. I don't want none of this. I'm tired of the tar that we're putting on the roof so that it's waterproof. Like, I am done. Right? Or David hiding in caves. He's not at breakfasts. Like, he is being chased for years, guys, not days. Sometimes when God speaks to us and it's not done in 5 minutes, we're like, God, can I just tell you, I've been waiting for 5 whole minutes. Really, and like we get this timetable in our head of when we think something should happen. And if our expectations aren't met, how do we react? Do we look around and go, I don't see the end in sight. I guess God is a liar. Now, we don't necessarily call God a liar. But we're like, well, maybe it's good for Chanel. It's good for Pastor Joel. But maybe, you know, God's word's not good for me. You know, I've been standing in faith for my family for years. Maybe God goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. No, he doesn't. Listen, when you see somebody get blessed with the blessing that you, one of the things that you're praying for, get excited. Because the same God who blessed them, he's no respecter of persons. Get excited because you're seeing it happen in someone else's life, and that God, our God, loved you so much. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Of course, he's going to do what he said. He came here for you. He came here for me. He loves us that much. He is a good God. Regardless of what's happening, regardless, it does not change his goodness, his faithfulness. He's not a wild card like, oh, I wonder what God's going to do. No, he told us what he's going to do. We know the end. We have victory. Let me skip to Revelations. We win. We win. We know where the end is. We may not know in the situation when the breakthrough is going to happen, but let me tell you, God is faithful. Are you? God is faithful. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. The only wild card in the equation is us. Are we going to continue to obey? Are we going to continue to endure? Are we going to be patient? And I know if we knew, like, oh, you just have to wait 2 years. And on June 15th or whatever, it would make it, quote unquote, easier. But can I just tell you, sometimes when we know the date, like, you know what I mean? If you know the date, the reliance will be on the date, not on the God who's going to get you there, right? Like if you knew on June 15th, well, you're like, well, I don't need God because I know it's June 15th. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a development that takes place when we don't know the exact day. Yeah. When we don't know whether it's week 2, week 3, week 28, right? But let me just tell you, you know what we do know? God is faithful. Amen. God's word is true. It doesn't matter how much time. Because Abraham, at any point, could have been like, I waited 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Clearly God's not faithful. And we can comp this attitude of, God, what are you doing? And I would just say, and I say this to me because this is what God is teaching me. We can comp an attitude and be like, God, what are you doing? And I think we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing as we wait? Are we drawing closer to God? Are we digging deep in his word? Do we have that same expectation that we did when we got that word? Do we have that same expectation that we did when we first heard God speak to us? Is there that? Because God is faithful. And he doesn't, like just like with Abraham, he wasn't like, bye. He walked it out. He protected Abraham. He provided for Abraham. And he's doing the same thing with us. We have the Holy Spirit who is our comforter and our helper. And he's with us every single step of the way. I'm not saying endure, like, good luck. I'm saying, be with the Lord. The Holy Spirit's our helper. He'll tell you exactly what to do every single step of the way. He wants to be that involved in your life, decision by decision, moment by moment. The Bible says in Psalm that God delights in every detail of our life, every detail. So the same God who delights in every detail will be with you at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. When you see it. But we have to see it. We have to know, God, even though I can't see the promise, Even though I can't see that island, it's there. Because I can see you. And I can see your faithfulness. And I started with God one day. I was like, Lord, let's look at your faithfulness in my life. Because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just started to remind myself of how God was faithful in this area and faithful in this area, and how I prayed for this and this happened, and I believed in healing for somebody and he healed them, and I believed for financial something to happen financially, and I believed this and he came through because his word is true. And so I know in a season, it's been a season, right? 2020 feels like a million years long, and we're not even in August, right? But here's what I want to say. We can like get into the season and be like, I don't like this season. I don't like this waiting. Right? We can get into that, and we can get ourselves really discouraged. And I just want to just throw this out there. One of the things that I started believing for, because I was getting frustrated in a season. And I just started believing that I'm going to come out of this season stronger, closer to God. And I started practically doing stuff to walk that out. And I started to believe and declare that the next 4 months, the last 4 months of 2020, are going to be way better than the first 8, right? Or the first 7.5, right? We can start declaring over our situations and stirring ourselves up. It's not passive. You're holding firm. You're speaking the word over your situation. You're getting excited again. Why? If God's not a liar, then what he said is going to happen. If you're willing and obedient. If you continue to follow God. If you endure to the end. The Bible says in Matthew that those who endure to the end will be saved. That means there are people who are not going to endure. That means there are going to be people who don't see the promises of God in their lives. Not because of God. Not because of God. But because they fell off. They got discouraged when they didn't see it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be a person who, you know what, like half builds an ark. You know what I mean? Like, I want to fulfill what God has called me to do. And the only way we're going to do that is daily saying, God, I need you. Help me. God, I need you. And getting on our face and spending time with the word. Pastor Joel said this a few weeks ago, that we need to be a generation that just falls in love with God's word. That steadfastness, we can't be anchored to a word that we don't know. We can't be anchored to a God that we don't know. We can't be anchored to something that we don't spend time with. So we need to endure. And by that, I mean, get in the word. Get with the Savior, our Lord, who loves us enough to plan out every moment of our lives. Get with that. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Dude, you don't even know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. Like, really, like, right? You can, like, plan out your day, and sometimes they'll be like, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and none of that happens. Little bit. I'll be like, I'm gonna get this done and this done and this done, and then I walk out into the garage and my freezer is like overflowing because we lost power. I'm like, I'm not doing anything I planned to do today. I'm cleaning my garage, right? But God knows the beginning from the end and every single step in between. And so I wanna jump back to Florence Chadwick. She's really interesting because she ended up failing, right, her first time across. And I say first, right? She ends up completely failing the first time, a mile, half a mile from the beach, from Catalina Island. And she ends up going back and doing that same swim again. Nothing has changed, but everything has changed. She goes back And she starts swimming, and it's just as foggy. The water is just as cold. There's still sharks. There's still jellyfish. There's still all these opportunities to get discouraged. She still can't see her boats to know that they're there, right? But she knows that if she keeps pressing on, Catalina Island's there. She's going to reach that beach if she doesn't lose heart, if she doesn't give up. And she ends up doing it. She sets a record while she does it. She's just like, that's for free, right? Not only am I going to do this, but I'm going to set the record. And the same miraculous God who raises Lazarus from the dead, who parts the Red Sea, who sent Jesus as a savior, as a baby who grew up to become a man. He's miraculous. If your situation needs a miracle, cool. I know a miracle working God, right? If your situation is like at Abraham when he's 100, good. Age is nothing for God. He can have a 100-year-old man father a nation, right? Nothing is impossible for him. And so in this season, I'm just saying, stir yourself up. Be encouraged. Because if you need a miracle, if there's no way in the natural this can happen, good. Because we serve a miracle-working God. We serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who delights in every detail of our lives. And I just want to just say, he's faithful. Endure to the end. He is faithful. Get your eyes off the things that can distract you. Get your eyes off circumstances of and all the rhetoric of why it can't happen. And put your eyes on God, who is faithful. And he will help you. He's so cool. Because not only does he give you a promise and give you his word, he helps you walk it out. And so I don't know if you guys have been like me, where you can have a tendency to get distracted, like, well, this is happening, Lord, and that person's getting blessed, and you know, and you can get your eyes off of. But if that's you, and I know that has been me. If that has been you, here's what I want to say. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Just get back, right? Just get on that plumb line of, hey, God, I'm sorry I got distracted. I'm sorry, situations caused me to question what you said. Lord, I repent. You are amazing. And I trust that just like you showed up for Abraham, and just like you showed up for Noah, and just like you showed up for David, and the children of Israel, and Moses, and Paul, and Silas, you're going to show up. And you're going to do exactly what you said you're going to do. And I just want to, right now, I just want to pray, but if that's you, then I just, you know what, I'm going to repent. And if that's you, hey, no shame. Don't be looking at the person next to you, because we've all missed it, right? Thank God we don't have to perform perfectly for God to love us, because we'd be in trouble, right? God loves us, not our performance. We're not our performance. We are a... We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, Father, I repent of times where I have questioned your goodness. We repent of taking our eyes off of you and putting our eyes on 2020 and our finances and our bank accounts and this person getting married and this happening. And instead of putting our eyes on the perfecter and author of our faith, we repent. And we choose today to faithfully serve you, faithfully endure, no matter what. Because we serve an amazing God who only tells the truth, who will do exactly what he said. And we thank you, Lord God, for the victory that we have in you. We thank you that we already know the end. You win. And we are partnered with the God of the universe, who is totally victorious. And we thank you, Lord God, for victories happening at our church in marriages and in finances and in children returning to God. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing is impossible for you. No person, no situation. And we just declare, Lord God, that we trust you despite circumstances, despite what doctors have said, despite anything shakable, because you are the only unshakable thing. And Father, we just declare that your word is the truth. You are the truth. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing in our lives. We recognize the faithfulness of God. We recognize how faithful you've been to us. We thank you, Lord God, that we wouldn't even be here if you weren't faithful. We would be dead. We'd be so dead. And we just thank you, Lord God, for being so amazing. God, we love you. And we thank you for the testimonies coming out of this of, I didn't give up and God showed up. I kept going and God did exactly what he said he's going to do because he only tells the truth. And Father, we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen.